Welcome to Pitcot Podcast with your hosts, Annabelle and Bill Pitcot. Okay, let's jump right into it. We're doing a deep dive today on fitness motivation. And look, if you're listening to this, you've probably been there. You've felt that motivation fade.
Oh, definitely.
You know the drill. Mm-hmm. You start a new routine. You get the gear. And that initial energy is just, it's electric.
For a few weeks.
Exactly. A few weeks later, that buzz is gone and your couch suddenly looks a lot more appealing than the gym. It's like a motivational black hole.
It's probably the most common roadblock there is. And the Pitcot sources, they call this out directly. So our mission today for you is to help you move past just relying on, you know, temporary inspiration.
Right. We're not looking for that fleeting hype.
No. We are diving into five simple, really positive systems. You could call them behavioral hacks. And they come straight from the best-selling Pitcot ebooks. The whole goal is to build systems for long-term continuity. Make it almost automatic.
And the Pitcot research is so clear on why that initial spark just dies out. We try to brute force it. We go too fast, we go way too hard, or we fail to build the frameworks that make showing up the easy part.
If you get the system right, the effort just kind of follows.
That's it. So this deep dive is basically the blueprint for those systems. We're talking external accountability, internal data, and positive reinforcement. And since we are pulling all this from such a great source, remember that all these insights come directly from the best-selling Pitcot ebooks. If you want to dive deeper, you can just visit www.pitcot.com/books and download them today.
Okay, so let's get started where really behavioral science says we should. We need to look at the external environment first.
Not our internal willpower.
Not at first. We're social creatures. And shaping our environment is just so much easier and frankly more effective than trying to force that internal drive every single day.
Okay, so environmental shaping.
Exactly.
Which brings us to hack number one. It leverages that social side of us. It sounds simple, but it is so, so effective. Get a workout buddy.
Right. And I know it sounds obvious.
It does.
But the Pitcot source explains the psychology behind it. And it goes way beyond just having someone to chat with.
Accountability, baby.
That's it. It's not just about having someone to lift with. You're leveraging what's called social contract theory. And honestly, loss aversion.
Loss aversion, meaning you don't want to be the one who looks bad.
Exactly. When you commit to meeting someone, you've introduced external accountability. So on those days when your willpower is at zero, the fear of letting your friend down, of being the one who bailed, is often stronger than your own resistance.
I think that's the key. It turns fitness from this purely personal choice into like a soft social obligation.
It does.
You're not just showing up for the workout anymore. You're showing up to honor a commitment you made to someone else.
And that shared experience just transforms the whole thing. The Pitcot sources talk about this multiplier effect. You're not just accountable, you're in it together.
Yeah, you're laughing between sets, you're swapping tips on form.
You're trying new things you wouldn't do alone. It turns what can be a miserable solo grind into a genuinely shared positive thing.
Okay, so what are the action items here? Because get a buddy sounds great, but what if your friends are all, you know, couch potatoes?
The sources are pretty broad here. Sure, you can invite a friend or a sibling, but, and this is crucial, it suggests leveraging new networks too.
Oh, okay.
Join a fitness class specifically to meet people. Don't just go for the class itself. Or you could use social fitness apps like Strava or MyFitnessPal to find people in your area with similar goals.
So the key is to embed yourself in a network where showing up is like the visible norm.
You got it. And that leads us perfectly into hack number two, which builds on that same idea, make friends at the gym.
Okay, this feels like a smaller step, but you're saying it has a big impact.
A massive impact on how often you'll actually go.
So explain the shift. We're not talking about finding your new best friend.
Right.
Just friendly faces.
That's all it takes. It's about lowering the psychological barrier to entry. Just think about the typical gym experience for a minute.
It's sterile. Anonymous.
Right. It's a place full of strangers. So every single trip feels like a chore. You have to gear yourself up, navigate the crowd, feel a little awkward.
It feels like work before you've even started working out.
Precisely. But imagine you walk in and there are three or four people you recognize, people you can give a nod to or say a quick hey. The whole environment just changes.
The vibe is different.
Completely. The gym stops being a chore and starts becoming more of a routine hangout, a third space, a place you don't mind being. And that subconscious shift makes a huge difference in consistency.
So the goal is to make the space feel inviting. And the fastest way to do that is to know a few people.
What are the Pitcot strategies for that? I mean, I don't really want to interrupt someone mid-squat.
No, and you don't have to. The recommendations are subtle. Start by just chatting with the regulars you see, maybe by the water fountain or the front desk staff.
Easy enough. Compliment someone's good form. Ask someone about their favorite class. And Pitcot really recommends group activities. Zumba, yoga, boot camp, any of those.
Because they're designed for interaction.
They are. The connection happens naturally. You're just making the emotional cost of going to the gym much, much lower by attaching some positive social feeling to it.
Okay, I love that. So we've covered the external systems, the social stuff. Let's shift to the internal perspective. And this next one, I'll admit it can sound a little dull compared to, lifting heavy weights.
We're moving from what you can see in the mirror to the invisible driver.
Exactly. Hack number three sounds boring, but it is so critical for lasting motivation. Talk to your doctor. Seriously.
This is where we shift focus. We move from immediate changes, like the scale or the mirror, to objective data, data that reflects your actual long-term health. And your doctor gives you the clearest view of that through what the sources call silent metrics.
Ooh, I like that term, silent metrics. So for our listeners, what are we talking about beyond just, blood pressure? Give us the deep dive insights.
Right. It's about connecting your effort to the big picture, living longer and actually improving your biology. Blood pressure and cholesterol are key, of course, but Pitcot suggests tracking things like your resting heart rate over several months.
Okay.
Seeing that number consistently drop is this powerful, silent proof that your heart is getting more efficient. You can't fake that.
So seeing your resting heart rate go from, say, 75 down to 62 over half a year is a better motivator than losing 5 pounds.
For long-term adherence, absolutely, because it's real proof your core is getting stronger. Another great metric is heart rate variability, or HRV.
Right, I've heard of that.
Improved HRV shows your nervous system is becoming more resilient, more adaptable. And your doctor can also track changes in visceral fat. That's the dangerous fat around your organs that the scale might miss.
That connects the dots between sweating on the treadmill and genuine life-extending results. It's not just about aesthetics.
Not at all. And the Pitcot materials recommend getting a thorough health assessment before you start a routine. Get a hard baseline. Then you can track your progress with follow-ups every few months.
And when you're there, you can ask for personalized advice, like your optimal heart rate zones for your age and fitness level.
Exactly. When you see that hard data improving, when you see your internal engine is running better, that validation just carries you through the days when you don't feel inspired. It makes the effort real.
That level of detail is just invaluable. Now, if you're finding this as useful as we are, I want to explore all the Pitcot resources. You can always visit the main site at www.pitcot.com.
Right, so moving on, we're now going to pivot from collecting that external data from the doctor to actively visualizing our own progress.
Which brings us to hack number four. This one is so critical for your own mindset because our brains can be a little tricky. The hack is track your progress and make it visible.
We were just saying how humans are terrible at noticing subtle day-to-day changes. It's true, if you look in the mirror every single morning, you won't see the progress, and that leads to feeling like you're stuck.
Yeah, you get discouraged.
So the Pitcot framework is clear. You have to externalize it, you have to visualize your progress to keep that feedback loop going.
That's where progress photos are so powerful, isn't it? The difference between day one and day 30 can be mind-blowing because you totally missed all the tiny changes in between.
Precisely. The visual proof just overrides your brain's tendency to get used to how you look, and the act of tracking itself creates a positive feedback loop.
Just checking a box.
Yes. The sources say use a physical notebook or a fitness app. That simple act of checking something off a list, it gives you that little dopamine hit, a small, immediate reward.
It reinforces the behavior right away. Little micro reward just for showing up.
It is. The detail tracking isn't just for looking back on later, it's part of the motivational system itself. Pitcot suggests apps like Fitbod or Strong for logging reps, sets, and weights.
So you're not just logging your body weight, you're logging your performance.
Yeah.
Seeing that you lifted 5 pounds more this week is such powerful perf.
It's undeniable. And crucially, the Pitcot material stresses making this stuff visible. Don't just hide the notebook in a drawer.
Put it on the fridge.
Stick those charts, those goals, even just a calendar where you check off the days you showed up on the fridge or the bathroom mirror. Make your achievements impossible to ignore. It constantly reminds you that you are a person who follows through.
I love that.
Yeah.
The visual reminder of past success really does predict future consistency.
And that brings us to our final hack, the motivational capstone, if you will. Hack number five, Reward yourself. Guilt-free.
Yes. This is so important. We often think of fitness as this constant sacrifice, but that's just not a sustainable model.
It's not. You need positive reinforcement.
Small wins deserve big vibes. The long-term goal might be 6 months away, so you need rewards today to keep going on the journey.
Which raises a really important question. How do we reward ourselves without, you know, sabotaging our progress?
Right.
And the Pitcott sources have a big caveat here. Don't make every reward a cheat meal. If your goal is health or changing your body composition, constantly linking rewards to food sends a really confusing signal to your brain.
Okay, so we need to decouple the reward from the very thing we're trying to manage. The reward should celebrate the lifestyle change itself.
Absolutely. And the source gives some great, concrete, non-food ideas. For example, after you hit a consistency goal, buy yourself some new workout gear.
That's a great one. New shoes, a new jacket.
It's brilliant because the reward links directly back to the activity. It makes you even more excited to show up next time.
Or what about planning a spa day or a massage after a really consistent month? It's self-care that you've earned through your commitment.
Perfect. You set up clear milestone rewards. I hit my first 30 days without missing a workout. Okay, time for those new running shoes. It keeps you focused on the long game without messing up your nutrition.
Okay, so if we pull these five hacks together, we have the social leverage of a workout buddy.
The supportive environment from making friends at the gym.
The hard, objective data from your doctor.
The visual validation of tracking your progress.
And the positive reinforcement from rewarding your milestones. It becomes really clear that staying motivated isn't about waiting for some magical feeling to strike.
Not at all. It requires building these external, social, and internal systems that just make consistency the path of least resistance.
That's the key takeaway for you, the listener. It's not about finding some endless well of energy. It's about building layers of systems that make it easier to show up than it is to stay home.
And the Pitcott source ends with this really nice, forgiving thought. It says progress isn't about being perfect.
It's about showing up again and again, even when your motivation takes a nap. The system is what carries you through.
And that leaves us with one final provocative question for you to think about. Knowing what we've just discussed, what is the single most crucial system, social, data-driven, or reward-based that you need to install next week? What's your next move?
An excellent deep dive. Thank you for being there with us. And if you enjoyed this detailed analysis from the Pitcott resources, please subscribe to our channel if you have it and activate that notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
Also, go ahead and press the like button if you love our show. It really helps in the recommendation algorithm so other people can find it too.
And remember to explore the full library of resources, including all the ebooks we talked about today, at www.pitcott.com. Thank you for listening to the Pitcott Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.